When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. Norwood missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25 by the score of 20-19.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
To save his life, call his wife.
And hey, how we doing? 403 on this Monday morning. Welcome to the new week. How we doing? Get up. Let's go. There's baseball to talk. There's football. We'll get into a little bit, a couple lists. And I got to come to the defense of someone I have constantly been ragging on. So we'll do that in a little bit. But a little bit of Yankee talk, a little bit of Met talk, too, as we open the show and talking about both of these teams who played yesterday big games against lousy teams and needed to finish off a couple of series victories. And unfortunately, the Mets couldn't do it against the lousy Angels. Lose 2 out of 3 after having a devastating loss Saturday night. They can't respond. The offense has really struggled as of late. Runners in scoring position. They had a big double play from Vientos in this game. Still nothing from Pete Alonso to speak of. Need more from him. And ultimately, yes, it's one series. Yes, they haven't lost a series since the last weekend of June when the Houston Astros came in and took 2 out of 3. So the entire month of July with an all-star break in between. But still, an entire month of not losing series, playing relatively well, thrusted themselves back into this playoff race. But that's not good enough. Thrusting yourself back in, becoming relevant as the wiffle ball bat falls for the fourth time, if you've heard it. Thrusting yourself back into the playoffs isn't enough. Now you have to get there. Expectations change, right? And in the year, the plan was, hey, maybe compete, build for the future. Don't trade the prospects. This team should be better than you think. We're better than you think. Then they're awful and it's trade everyone, and then they're better and it's add to this team. Then they're really good and it's add top level to this team. And now that we're past the deadline, they did what they did. They got a bat. They got some relief pitching. They added a starter. It was just a week ago they were playing the Atlanta Braves and they were right there to be the first wild card, and now they're a game and a half back. And if you want to be a playoff team, if you want to have the kind of season that the Mets could have, if you want to have a special season like the aforementioned Arizona Diamondbacks had last year, if you want to give yourself a chance in the postseason with this lineup that has been, up until the All-Star break, top to bottom, as good as any team in baseball, top to bottom, as many above-average hitters in all of baseball, if you want to be a playoff team and give yourself a chance to do something significant, you can't start 10-game road trips out west against the lousy Angels and lose 2 out of 3. Can't do it. Can't do it. Tonight's a huge game. I think they're playing at 4:30 today. Huge game against St. Louis before heading to Colorado. These are big-time games. This month, most of it's on the road. At the end of the month, you have a 4-game set against San Diego, a 3-game set against Arizona. That will go a long way into deciding who is going to be the wild card teams in this National League. And in the meantime, before you get there, you can't be losing to the bad teams you're supposed to be feasting on. That's what this team has struggled with in the past, beating up on teams you're supposed to beat up on. Right? They've been playing to their competition for how long? This is a series they couldn't afford to lose, and they did. And now they take a game in St. Louis they need to win, and then we'll head to Colorado to beat up on another bad team, or at least that's what they should be doing. And it's just, this is an important stretch, an important road trip, an important month, and it got started on the wrong foot, and they got to get it back together today in St. Louis for a weird one-game series off a rain delay a few months ago before they head to Colorado on this 10-game road trip before heading back home. And for the Yankees, they avoided disaster, won the rubber match in extra innings with DJ LeMahieu coming through after the Yankees blew a lead because of an error made in the outfield, which we're dying to blame Boone for, but that's another discussion. But they come from behind and win another game that felt like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, when they were in the middle of this mire, when they were in the middle of this stretch of just terrible baseball. They would have lost. They've been particularly bad in extra innings. They find a way to come through in this game. Leiter, another, I think the second time now in his brief Yankee stint, he's gone through an extra inning without giving up any, without allowing the Manfred man to score from second base. He's been impressive. And this offense did just enough, even with Judge being walked at every turn. And that's going to be one of the main talking points coming out of this now, because we've seen it against the Mets. We didn't see it so much against Boston, but we've seen it against the Mets. And we certainly saw it now. He's getting walked with, you know, nobody on base against the Blue Jays. And at some point, they're going to have to figure out a way, whether it's move him in front of Soto. I vote to hit him leadoff, but they're going to have to make sure Judge doesn't get pitched around, because he's obviously the best hitter and needs to get as many at-bats as possible. So the Yankees avoid the disaster with Toronto. They score enough runs. DJ LeMahieu is a talking point on his own, because if he ever does get going, I mean, we've been all killing him, me, myself included. I'm tired of seeing him as a defensive replacement because he comes up late in games. I'm tired of seeing him play at all, DFA him, make a statement, say if you can't play, you're not going to be here long enough. And watching him yesterday get the Gatorade dumped on him, watching him the last, you know what, two out of the last four games, single-handedly, you know, win these games, whether it's the six RBIs against Philadelphia, two RBIs in this game, including the game winner up the middle. If he could ever be something, if he could ever get back to who he was, if he can get back to being an 800 OPS hitter, I mean, now you've got legitimate options in the infield. And maybe now the Gleyber Torres, who needed to be benched on Friday night, can reside there more permanently. So a lot going on with the New York Yankees. The pitching has been okay. Obviously, Stroman's been bad. And they'll start a series against those lousy Angels where they need to win, because they've been terrible at home. This was a huge series, too. You can't come off winning like that. You can't come off a five-game winning streak and then lose a series to Toronto at home when heading into the series, they were, after the first loss, they were 6-16 in their last 22 games in Yankee Stadium. That's not Yankee baseball. That's not winning baseball. That's not baseball. The New York Yankees have to be far better at home, and they avoided a disaster. They get a nice win, an extra innings win, a walk-off win. Haven't been too many of them this year. And now they embark with more games at home against lousy teams, and the New York Yankees need to figure it out. Keep winning games. Keep stacking wins as they find themselves tied for first place with Baltimore now. 4.5 games up in the wild card. This is a playoff team. And they are chasing that division. And I fully expect them to win this division. I think they're better than Baltimore, who had a 4-game split in Cleveland. But the Yankees did get a win, and you have to figure out how to keep Judge from being walked. And whether that's moving them to leadoff like I would, or just flopping him and Soto 2-3, you got to do something. Because, one, I don't think they'll walk Soto the same. They'll walk him on some aspects, but they won't walk him with the bases empty the way they do Judge. And plus, walks are so much part of Soto's game that it doesn't bother me as much to see him walked, because that's who he is. He walks. He works at bats. He walks. He'll lay down a bunt if the third baseman's playing deep. Like, that's more of Soto's game. Judge just needs to mash as he continues to do so. 16 home runs in the first inning, 41 on the season. They got to figure out a way to make sure teams pitch to Aaron Judge. Let's get to the calls. Robert in Manhattan. What's up, Robert?
Good morning, C-Mac. I hope things are very good at McMonagle Estates, Manor, with the Clan.
Yeah, they're doing well. I mean, they're crazy as ever, but they're doing well.
Okay. But I got to challenge you on something. Now,
okay,
look,
please do.
You're a great overnight sports announcer, sports analyst, sports prognosticator. You'd make a lousy Vulcan. You made a statement that makes no sense.
Okay.
You said the Yankees have the there's no team that has a better record than the Yankees. Well, that isn't true.
I didn't say that.
I said the same thing. Yes, you did.
No, I didn't. I said nobody has more wins than the New York Yankees.
Okay, nobody has more wins. Well, that's not true.
It is true.
No. It's true, except that I can say the same about Baltimore and Cleveland.
You certainly can.
So, I mean, what's the statement's illogical.
How is it illogical? Is there another team that has more wins than the New York Yankees?
No,
the Yankees have 67. Does anybody have 68 or more?
No.
Well, then how is my statement illogical? It's true. It's fact.
Okay. All right. And if I say overnight on your program that there's no team that has better record than Cleveland, am I correct?
A better record than Cleveland? Yes, you're correct.
A better record than Cleveland?
Yes.
And Baltimore?
No.
And by the way.
No, you'd be incorrect with Baltimore because Cleveland has a better record than Baltimore.
Cleveland has a better record?
Yes.
They got 67. Oh, you mean
they have less losses.
They have less losses. Okay. We'll go there. And the fact is, C-Mac, neither you nor I know who's going to win the AL East. You think it's the Yankees. I don't know who's going to win.
Right.
And it could be. And it could be that it'll be decided on the last day of the season.
That could
be true. Or maybe. I don't know.
I understand that. By no means did I say they will. But I am, you mentioned I'm great at a sports this, sports that, sports overnight, sports host, sports radio, sports columnist, sports, injury, every other sports thing you had to say there. I appreciate it. I'm great at all those things. That's very nice of you. I wouldn't be very good at it if I didn't give opinions. So if it's my opinion that the Yankees will win the division, I'm paid to give opinions. If I just sat here and went, well, listen, I nor you know what's going to happen, so let's just sit back and wait for it, wouldn't be that entertaining now, would it? I don't know the Yankees are going to win the World Series. And first of all, you know, now I got to ask, you mentioned Vulcan, I'm going to have to ask the great Eddie Scazzeri. Is it illogical just because multiple things can be true to the same sentence? I don't know. Like, nobody has more wins than the Yankees. That's not illogical. It's a fact. It's really not logic. I didn't say this or that or because of this, that. I just said no one has more wins than the Yankees. That's a factual statement that can be said about the Baltimore Orioles and the Cleveland Guardians as well as the Yankees. But that's not illogical. Nobody does have more wins. It's just tied. That's all. Like I saw it today on Twitter. Like, see if this is the same thing. Like, you know, outfielder broke a record for most putouts in an inning with three. Right. So, what record did he break? Really, that's the most you can have. It's illogical. No, it's just a statement. It's a fact. The Yankees have the most wins in Major League Baseball. It's true. Nobody has more. Ralph,
yes.
In New Haven. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
All right. Just tipping my hat.
You got to figure something out, man. You got to call your son, do something, tell him to do something. He's in a terrible slump.
He got out of it today. Went 3-for-4 today with a home run, finally.
There you go.
But I'm tipping my hat for the sweeping of the Phillies. I know when to show up. But I couldn't believe looking at the Dodgers. I didn't know they got the guy from Detroit, the pitcher.
Yeah, they got Jack Flaherty.
I can't believe it's pathetic that them getting everybody.
They get everybody. You know? And they are.
And it's amazing. I have a feeling now, don't go crazy, but in the offseason, they're going to go after Soto just to push the price up.
No, I would not be, Ralph. There is not going to be a conversation about any free agent, especially one led by one by Scott Boras that isn't going to try to include the Dodgers, the Yankees.
They will
have a conversation with Soto and Boras, I have no doubt. I don't know if they'll sign him, but it's plausible.
Right.
But no, they go out and get everybody, whether it's in free agency, whether it's trade. They have the farm system to continually be able to provide prospects that other teams want. They are as well run as any franchise in the sport. It is amazing. Yet again, only as well as they're all run, as well as they're run, as much as they try, they've won one World Series since 1988. One, and it was in the short-stricken year, the COVID season of 60 games. They have won one World Series since 1988, and it's the most, inconsequential championship the most challenged championship since the 1919 White Sox. And I guess if you want to include the 17 Astros. I mean, that's... And they're as good as anybody. And that's why I saw Boomer's thing and I applauded it. He's 100% right. It's a. I think it's absolute crap to say the Yankees don't care about winning. I think it's crap. To say Hal Steinbrenner doesn't care, it's crap. He's going. I just think it's absolute nonsense. He spends as much money as anybody. He has a line. Sure, he has a line. Maybe his father wouldn't have had that line. Fine, I get it. He also doesn't think it's the best way to build a team because who has the highest payroll in baseball this year? The Mets. Who had the highest payroll in baseball last year? The Mets. They finished terribly last year and are currently out of a playoff spot. So tell me again how having the highest payroll guarantees you victories, because it doesn't. Could they spend more? Absolutely. Are they lying to you when they tell you it isn't feasible to have a $300 million payroll every year? Yes, they're lying to you. They don't want to do it. It's feasible. It's more than feasible. Doesn't mean they're not trying to win.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 425. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. We spent most of the show talking about baseball. Football is around the corner. In fact, the Giants and Lions are going to have some mutual practices coming up later today and tomorrow. And so I wanted to just talk about the Giants real quick because, you know, I know it's just rankings and it's silly and it's stupid. And it was a couple days ago now, but this one's been sticking in my craw. And I felt like I owe it to Daniel Jones just to come out and say this, because I've been very negative about Daniel Jones, and we'll see what happens with the offensive line, the weapons, and all that stuff. I even joked John Mara, you know, had the audio the other day of, you know, let's put some weapons around him and give him and see what he can actually do. And I was like, man, this is like let's put weapons around Danny and see what he can do is like the Giants version of it's all right there in front of us with the Yankees. Like, you just hear it constantly. Every year, that's the same conversation. And while it's accurate in some ways, I mean, I'd love to see him with a weapon and offensive line that actually could play, and let's see it, but I'm just tired of it. And listen, he's done a great job being as healthy as he is to be in camp and been here from day one to be the starter, immediately get every single first-team rep. I mean, it's been remarkable for him to come here and off of that injury in November to be as healthy as he's been. It speaks to a lot of the athlete he is, and we know how important his athleticism is to his overall play. But I've been down on him. I'm pessimistic about the future. I don't think he's obviously worth the contract, although it's getting better and better every day as all these quarterbacks are signing. I just don't have faith in him. And when you don't know, when you're constantly asking questions about your quarterback, even when you've already paid him, I just don't think it's a good situation. And we'll see where the Giants are at the end of the year. We'll see. Neighbors actually seems like a weapon. They've been using him in every different scenario you could possibly use a wide receiver at camp. So I'm starting to turn a little bit more optimistic as the season comes around, which is I usually am. You always get excited and you start to think a little bit better of it than you do. I'm still down on them. I saw everybody giving out records. I took off Friday. I listened to a lot of the shows. It's everybody's like, it was like Friday was the day to give out what you think the Giants and Jets are going to do this year. What, I mean, we got weeks here. I'm not giving you what I think the Giants' record's going to be today. What I will tell you is Daniel Jones, despite the fact that I've been down on him, despite the fact that I don't really think the Giants have their franchise quarterback, and despite the fact that I'm very leery about his ability to handle the rush, I'm leery about his injury history, all of that, the Madden rankings came out, and it's absolutely ridiculous that Daniel Jones is the 36th ranked quarterback. As you're well aware, there are not 36 teams in the NFL. So therefore, Daniel Jones is not viewed by the fine people at EA Sports and Madden 25 to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. And that is just inaccurate. And some of the names that are in front of him are Daniel Jones is the 36th ranked quarterback, tied with the same ranking of with the same rating of 71 with Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy. You are aware that neither of them have taken a snap in the NFL, and Daniel Jones has won a road playoff game. Are you not aware of this? Kenny Pickett ranked higher. Bryce Young, whose rookie season was so bad that it got everybody associated with it fired. Anyone who coached him, anyone who picked, just disaster. Drake May right now is so concerning in Patriot camp that there's talks of the sixth round pick they took possibly jumping him in the pecking order. I mean, come on now. Come on now. Daniel Jones won a road playoff game. I don't think I'm very concerned about this season. I don't love Daniel Jones. I don't. Never have. He's a starting quarterback in this league. I don't think he's a great quarterback. And I think when the Giants are picking at the top of the draft and there are options, and we've already seen 5 years of it, it was best to move on. That's what I've always felt. But that doesn't mean I think Bryce Young is better. That doesn't mean I don't think he belongs in the NFL. That doesn't mean I'm assuming that Bo Nix is a better quarterback. Now, he hasn't had a great camp, right? He's starting to come on now. They haven't done any 7-on-7s. They've done strictly 11-on-11. They've tried to get him to rush. They've made things a little bit difficult for him. That's fine. He's still developing, you know, chemistry with his wide receivers. This practice, most recent, he was 4-for-4, and then he threw a pick off the hands of his tight end. I mean, he's had an up-and-down camp. He's had an up-and-down career. And ultimately, I don't think the Giants have their future quarterback on their hands. But that doesn't mean he's not a player in this league. And not that I care so much about the player rankings, but this is not the only list I've seen. This is not the only place I have seen disrespect for Daniel Jones at such a level that it's absurd. Down on him, sure. Not worth the contract. Buyer's remorse. All fair comments. Relies so much on his legs, and he's coming off a blown out knee. He relies so much on running the football, and he's had multiple neck injuries. Like, those are all fair. Doesn't score points. Doesn't throw touchdown passes that much. Fair. This dude led a team to the playoffs and won a playoff game on the road. And we're going to pair him with quarterbacks who got his coach fired in six weeks? Be better, Madden. Be better. Let's go back to the phones. 888-808-1019. Danny in Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How you doing?
You got it, buddy. How are you?
Pretty good. So, I like the series against Toronto. I mean, it was a hard-fought series. I like that DJ starting to come around slowly, but
yeah.
I don't trust him 100%. I feel like once he gets over there at the Mendoza line, then we can talk.
I mean, I don't even care about his batting average because he's never going to be able to like have good numbers at this point. But I just want to see how he's hitting right now. And his last couple starts, like, even the outs in this game, he hit a line drive to third base. He had the sacrifice fly. Like, he had good at-bats the entire game. He had the 6 RBIs the other day. Driving the baseball. That's the other thing. These aren't little bloop hits, right? That's a grand slam. There's a double up the alley in the gap. That's a legitimate 100-mile-an-hour exit velocity base hit up the middle with 5 infielders. Like, he's hitting the ball harder. He's having much better at bats.
Yeah. You don't forget how to play baseball.
No.
I think the injury is just basically just slow them down. He's starting to get back into rhythm. I don't think he's going to turn around 100%, but he's definitely better than he was before.
No doubt, and it's good to see him, and it's a good guy, and he deserves it, and I felt good for him winning that game. And I've been calling for his job. I mean, I've been saying the Yankees should cut him. It was the perfect guy who set the right tone for me. It's a guy who couldn't play anymore, at least I thought so. It looked like that, and again, you're right. I don't trust him that it's not that case, but it really felt like he was cooked and done. He also had enough cachet. He had enough of a contract. It all cutting him would have answered a couple things. One, that Steinbrenner isn't just going to not cut players with money. It doesn't matter how poorly they perform. He's under contract. He's not eating it, which is what everybody thinks. So it would have answered that question, and it would have sent a message to that room. Wow, we were here when DJ was an MVP candidate. We, you know, DJ is a machine. DJ's a multi-hit game machine. They're going to cut DJ? Like, I think there was enough cachet, enough of a drop-off, and enough of a contract where it really sent a statement. But what sends a statement more is winning games and him being a part of it. And I felt good for him. He deserved it. Big, big hit up the middle. I mean, nobody's more uncomfortable doing interviews. He's one of the more bizarre characters. He just has no interest in talking, has no interest in anything. People say he's funny. Teammates say, I saw Cameron Maben say, sneaky, funny guy. But, I mean, it was more than just, to your point, though, it was more than just a struggle. Because I remember a game, it's got to be 3 weeks ago now, 4 weeks ago. I can't even remember the game. But he was obviously in the midst of struggling, as he's been all year. And he hit a ball on a hanging breaking ball. He had a swing at it, and I thought, there we go. I saw the swing. I got excited. I thought he hit a home run. It was the perfect swing on a hanging breaking ball, and it didn't even get to the warning track. And I remember thinking, geez, I mean, this, he's just been zapped of all real power or drive. Like, he doesn't drive the baseball. And maybe he's got enough bat-to-ball skill where he'll get a couple of knocks here or there, but he's not driving the baseball with authority. And I know, you know, people don't like the idea of exit velo. I don't care about exit velo either. The name of the game is hit the ball hard. This is not a new stat. I was told that in Little League. That's the name of the game, hit the ball hard. The idea that we poo-poo it, or that we run from it because, oh, there's some new analytical stat called exit velo, and it pisses you off. You're nuts. If you don't think hitting the ball hard is a relatively, you know, representative thing to have and find and look for and create in your players, I think you're crazy. But DJ LeMay, like, okay, maybe he was going to be a guy with blue hits here and there because I just don't see the drive. The drive looks back. Grand slam, doubly in the alley, a bullet up the middle, a bullet to third base that was snagged. Like, he's starting to hit the ball harder. It looked like the foot injuries have zapped him of any sort of real power. Not that he was ever a home run hitter, but this is a guy who went opposite field in Houston to tie game six of the ALCS. This is a guy who hit home runs occasionally, drove the baseball occasionally. Wasn't just bloops and bleeders. Like, this guy can hit the ball hard. He's a great hitter. And we haven't seen any of that, any of that. And now over the last handful of games, we have. And it's a promising sign because I'll tell you, I want as many good hitters. I don't care. I've been on record saying I don't want to trade Gleyber Torres. And I know there's a whole conversation around Gleyber Torres. We'll have 5 hours tomorrow night if you want to get into it. 5 hour midnight ride starting at midnight. And him being benched and the way I went on and talked about how Boone handled it. I thought Boone handled it great to the point I can't believe the flack he's getting from some people on how he spoke in the postgame. He did exactly what we wanted, not good enough. He needs to rip Gleyber Torres from, you know, head to toe publicly. Otherwise, he benched him. He ripped him out of the game. He didn't really give us enough there in the postgame. Annoys the hell out of me. Why is Judge playing left field? Blame Boone. Anywho's. I don't want Gleyber Torres traded. I said it from the beginning. I want Gleyber Torres on this team because he's hitting. That's it. I want him on this team. I don't want him off the team. I'm not worried about his defense. I want him to hit. I want him to hit. Having said that, if DJ LeMay is going to hit, Gleyber Torres can sit his ass on the bench. I'm fine. That's fine by me. I don't mind having decent hitters on the bench. And DJ LeMahieu, you know, I don't know his range anymore. He's been playing strictly pretty much third and first. We haven't seen him play a lot of second base. I'm assuming his range is still there. I have no idea, but I'll tell you this. He's not going to boot a ground ball hit right to him. He's not going to drop a pop-up. He's not going to mishandle an exchange at second base on a double play. I feel confident on the routine being made. And if he can be the offensive player he's been or even close to it, that's your best second baseman right there. And if you could put Gleyber Torres on the bench, great. It's fine by me. I didn't want him traded, but I don't need him to be the starting second baseman. I'm cool with a good bench. I'm cool with Gleyber coming off the bench. That's fine, especially if Ben Rice is your first baseman. That's an opportunity for, you know, right-handed pinch hit spot. Move DJ over to first. Like, whatever. Bench players are good. And that would be perfect. If DJ LeMahieu can be what he was and even create a rotation or become the first baseman, I suppose, if he's hitting. That's possible, too. And take over for Ben Rice. Whatever. Because he's a game changer. He's the exact kind of hitter they need. Line drives all over the place. 800 OPS, 360 on base. I talked about it when he first came back. That's a leadoff hitter. I don't care if he can't run. That's a leadoff hitter. DJ LeMahieu at his best is a leadoff hitter. They don't have one right now. A healthy and performing DJ LeMahieu answers a bunch of questions for this team.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan. Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:46, McVonigo here with you on The Fan, another few minutes. Something else I saw over the weekend, or was it... Friday, I don't know. Again, I took off on Friday. But I mentioned a couple of football things. One, the Daniel Jones being that low ranked in Madden is just... I felt like I needed to come to the defense of Daniel Jones because I've gotten on him. He is my quarterback. I am a Giant fan. I do believe he's a talented quarterback and can win some football games. I don't think he is the worst. I don't think he's the 35th or 36th best quarterback in the league behind guys who haven't played yet. It's preposterous. It's ridiculous. So I felt like I've been hard on him, and I don't have much faith in him winning or throwing touchdown passes or him even finishing the season, quite honest, but I know he's better than that. So I felt like I needed to just do that, even though it's Madden and it's silly. I needed to come to his defense. I needed to be fair because that's absolute garbage. The guy won a road playoff game. It's not that easy. The Jets haven't been there in 13 years. He won one on the road. Now, the other list I saw that it makes you wonder, you know, sometimes, you know, I like to say the phrase, can't see the forest through the trees. It's like one of those things I like to say. It makes me feel intelligent when I say it. I don't know. But I say it a lot. The idea that NFL players, and normally I would think, I mean, NFL players, they play the game, they're... Who would have a better of opinion who the best players in the NFL are than the actual players themselves? Well, apparently not. Because as dynamic a wide receiver as Tariq Hill may be, he is not the best football player in the league. And the idea that he was voted as such by his peers is remarkable to me. And furthermore, Patrick Mahomes wasn't even the top quarterback on the list. Lamar Jackson was ranked as the second best player in the NFL and the top quarterback, obviously. I'm sorry. How could anyone say anything other than Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL? How is it possible? How could anybody, what was McCaffrey 3, right? It was McCaffrey, that was the top 4. Tariq Hill. McCaffrey 3, I'm sorry, So Tariq Hill, Lamar Jackson, McCaffrey, then Patrick Mahomes. NFL players believe there are 3 better players in the NFL than Patrick Mahomes. I'm not sure there have been 3 better players in history than Patrick Mahomes, let alone currently. The guy has owned the NFL. The guy has done everything you could possibly do. He's presiding over right now what is the closest thing to a Patriot dynasty that we've seen and probably will see. I mean, he's so far and away better than everybody else. And now Tariq Hill has great speed. Don't get me wrong. And they have a great system there, and the coach is an offensive guru. And he's going to figure out a way to get Tariq Hill the ball quickly. He's going to get him down the field. No doubt of a dynamic player who's now done it with Patrick Mahomes and is now doing it with Tua. He's proven it's not just Patrick Mahomes. He is a great, great player and certainly should be. You want to put him at the top of the wide receiver list? I'm all open. But the idea that anyone could be ranked as the top NFL player in this league and it not be Patrick Mahomes is mind-boggling to me. How could you honestly even think? How is that possible? And that Lamar Jackson is better? Lamar Jackson, who, I mean, is uber talented, who can do everything on the field, who deserves his MVPs. But, I mean, you're talking about one of the most talented players to ever play the game. Crazy. Crazy. Crazy to me that the NFL players could vote that. Now, again, are these the most important things? No. Are they as important as your fantasy football team? No, they're not. Clearly not. That's much more important than this nonsense. But a lot of people go on Madden football. A lot of players care. How many players have you seen react to their Madden rating? And I know Daniel Jones doesn't care. Daniel Jones thinks he's as good a quarterback as the league has. He's somewhere in between the 35th and the best. Somewhere in between. Probably close to the 35th. But as we open up camp, as we're going to have team practices against the Lions for the Giants, as they're trying to figure out who what their offensive line is going to be, as they're still waiting for Evan Neal, which, I mean, is just a disaster, still recovering from his injury. Luminor is going to end up playing tackle, I would think, and Van Roten is going to be your guard as long as Schmitz comes back. Van Roten's been center for most of camp. As long as Schmitz comes back, you assume he's going to be healthy, play center. Doesn't sound like he's too far away. And right now they're preparing for life without Evan Neal. And that's why, I mean, I know every time I talk about the NFL, I somehow get into the quarterback conversation. But this is why, like, people tell you, oh, you can't draft a quarterback that high. They're all busts. Every position is a risk. Every position is a bust. Are the Giants any better off that Evan Neal was drafted 7th overall? You can find busts at every position in the NFL. Offensive line, line. There is no bust-proof position. The difference is when you hit, right? They hit on Andrew Thomas at the offensive line position, one of the best left tackles in the sport. Him, Dexter Lawrence is one, you hit with Dexter Lawrence late in the draft, but like later in the first round. But Andrew Thomas is one of their best players. Andrew Thomas, Dexter Lawrence. I mean, those are probably the two best players on the team. They nailed that pick, paid him his contract, one of the best left tackles in the sport. Not only has it not helped them win, it hasn't helped the offensive line. The offensive line is still, one of the worst. We're still waiting for a good enough offensive line to figure out who Daniel Jones is. And they hit on the left tackle. If you hit on the quarterback, there are no questions. You hit on the quarterback, it impacts winning. You hit on the quarterback, it changes your franchise around. You hit on an offensive lineman, you still might have one of the worst offensive lineman groups in the league. That's why it's a no-brainer to me. If you don't have one, you take a chance on a young quarterback. And I understand that, they didn't love the rest of them. They tried to move up for a Drake May who's struggling in Patriot camp. It might end up being a bust. It doesn't strike me as the Patriot luck, but who knows? Maybe things are turning around for them. Maybe they won't haunt us every single postseason. That's really Tom Brady, who will be back. The guy never leaves. But as, we get ready for camp, the Giants, who have a lot of questions. We talked a lot about the Jets, right? We've talked a lot about the Jets. We've talked a lot about Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk more about it tomorrow midnight for a five-hour midnight ride. We'll do a little bit more football. We'll have some reaction and sound and comments from camp with the Lions. But we've talked so much about the Jets and whether or not Aaron Rodgers showed up to voluntary or mandatory things, and where was he, and blah, blah, blah. And then obviously now, whether or not he's going to play in preseason games, he's unaware that he's not being played the first two games. I don't think it's that big a deal, to be honest with you. I think it's totally up to Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers wants to play preseason games, great. If he doesn't, great. I mean, I think we're at a point where he knows his body. He knows this offense. He's going to have time to gel. No one cares about the preseason games anyway. We're talking about playing a series or two. It's not like the old NFL with these games where you played, you know, 9/10 of game three. It's not like that anymore. I really don't care if he plays. But we talk so much about the Jets. You know, the Giants right now are a team that, again, it's the year of Daniel Jones, which drives me absolutely freaking bonkers. The offense, we're starting to see a young wide receiving core. And, you know, we say this kind of every year about Slayton, but this is the real first year, and he always ends up having the most receiving yards on the team. But it really feels like Slayton is being phased out. He hasn't gotten a lot of reps with the first team. You've got Wandell Robinson, you've got Hyatt, and obviously you got Neighbors. I mean, you feel like with those three, you have a legitimate number one, you have a legitimate speed guy to take the top off the defense, and then you have the intermediate kind of guy, yak kind of guy, make people miss kind of guy, shifty kind of guy in Wandell Robinson, who can do a bunch of different things for you. I mean, those feel like three legitimately pretty good. Now, we need more from Wandell Robinson, and he's been unable to stay healthy enough to really get a really good look at him. But, I mean, you got Neighbors being a clear-cut number one, and that's what he looks like in camp. I mean, whether or not, you know, I know Sean's calling him the best player in New York already, but we'll have some fun with that, I guess, maybe on Thursday. I'm with Sean on Thursday in the afternoon. But Neighbors looks legit. Everyone expects that. You know, that's one of the safer, right? I just talked about busts in the NFL draft. Wide receiver seems to be one of the safer positions. I think everyone expects him to be pretty good, if not fantastic, right out of the gate. And Hyatt second year, working on running different routes, getting the route tree complete, but you know he's got the ability to take the top off the defense and go down deep. And then you've got, you know, Wandell Robinson running across, creating mismatches. Those are about as good a wide receiving core as Daniel Jones has ever had. Clearly, Neighbors is the most dynamic player he's ever had. And if they could ever figure out a way to block it with this offensive line, with, you know, guys they've added to the interior of the line, Illuminor now going to move to right tackle probably. You've added Van Roten, who's coming off a great year. You got a second-year center you're hoping to make a big step up. You got Runyon and Andrew Thomas on the left side. That feels like a sturdy left side of the line. So if the line can block, if they can get a little bit of a run game, just a little bit of a run game, and you can run a little play-action pass, you could try and get the ball deep for Daniel Jones, who, you know, let's be honest, I know part of my argument is that other guys have come in and been able to throw the ball deep. Other guys have been able to come in and get the ball down the field where Daniel Jones has been unable to. And I think Daniel Jones feels the rush too much. I think that's why Brian Daboll's done a great job in camp. Immediately, forget 7-on-7, we're getting people in your face. You have to get used to this rush, man, because hopefully it's going to be better than it's been the last couple of years of your career. But you need to become more comfortable with the rush. And he needs to make quicker decisions. He needs to get through his progressions quicker. So I understand you want to build chemistry and make easy passes and get things going with wide receivers and have highlight plays from Neighbors and everything. But ultimately, they got to get Daniel Jones ready for the season. I'm shocked he's as healthy as he is. He's come in ready to play. But hopefully this offense can do something. And really, the defensive front you feel good about. It's just the inexperience in youth at the cornerback position that's the issue for the New York Giants. But we'll talk more football over the course of the five-hour midnight ride tomorrow. I'll catch you then. Fliegelman, thank you. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Mets with a big game against St. Louis before heading to Colorado. Off of losing a series against the Angels, they got to figure out a way to win this one and turn this road trip around. Yankees with a day off. But again, we'll have plenty of time to talk about all of that at midnight. Enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy the warm-up show coming up next at 5 o'clock, followed by the morning show, the midday show, the afternoon show. You know how it goes. Keith McPherson, and then I'll be back. I'll see you then. Everybody have a great day. Take care. I'm out of here. Sports Radio 101.